On the phone with us now is Steph from OCAP Immigration. That's Ontario Coalition Against Poverty.
OCAP's been handling immigration cases for a number of years now and have been in large part very successful in stopping the deportations and fighting for landed status for people from a whole variety of different communities. So this is immigration casework is nothing new to the organization.
And today we have an update on a case of a Canadian citizen who's been detained and is still being detained in the United States, and he's been there since late September. Can you tell us a little bit about Shakir's case?
Yeah, Shakir Bullock is a Canadian citizen of Pakistani descent who traveled frequently to the United States and was picked up about a week after September 11th and is still detained, as you said, in a maximum security detention center in Brooklyn. For the longest time, Shakir was not formally charged with anything and was repeatedly interrogated by federal agents in the U.S. Then 2 weeks ago, he appeared in a federal court and was told that he would be charged formally with illegal entry. So it's not like Canada. Immigration violations are actual formal criminal charges in the United States. So finally, because of you know, such a long-term detention and investigation, and because public attention had started to mount, the American officials were pressed to, you know, move on his case and actually give a legitimate reason for having held and dealt with him in the way that they had.
Now, you said something that I hope you can clarify. You said that normally immigration violations are not treated as a criminal offense. Is that correct?
Sorry, what I meant is in Canada, you can be an immigration detainee held in an immigration detention facility, and you're not actually being charged, you're not actually violating the criminal code, you're violating the Immigration Act. In the United States, it's different. If you enter the country illegally and the officials choose not to simply deport you to your country of origin, which is what happens very often, it's just a simple matter of deportation. If you remain in the system, they actually have to charge you criminally. So there isn't, you know, a separation of immigration and criminal offenses.
Now, to backtrack this a bit, when did the Canadian consulate step in?
Well, the way that this played out was that Shakir's wife, who lives in Toronto, as does his daughter and Shakir himself, contacted both groups and lawyers, refugee rights groups and lawyers in New York and OCAP in Toronto. And from this side of the border, we lodged a formal complaint with the Foreign Affairs Ministry at the beginning of December, and didn't get any response until we leaked the letter that we had written to Foreign Affairs to the public and the press. And as a result of that, the Canadian consulate in New York went to visit Shakir personally. A consular official went to visit Shakir personally, they did visit him a couple of times and sought to clarify with the American government what exactly was going on with Shakir's case, or that, you know, that's what they suggested that they were doing. And then what ended up happening was the American government leaked a document that Shakir ostensibly had signed, although I've been told that the signature is extremely illegible on the document, saying that Shakir had waived his rights to consular contact. That's something that all prisoners of foreign nationality in the United States are entitled to under a UN convention. And the United States government said, you know, that he had waived that right, and so that absolved the Canadian government of their, you know, lack of involvement or
responsibility.
Lack of responsibility, yeah.
Yeah. So as far as the Foreign Affairs Department, what was John Manley's position on this before he was promoted?
Well, I mean, the Department of Foreign Affairs, you know, not John Manley directly. He never deigned to respond to us personally. But their stance was that initially, look, we're looking into this, and you know, we are aware of this matter, and we will seek to support Shakir and his family. And then after the United States government leaked this document, the Canadian consulate basically washed their hands of the situation. Like, This guy has been sitting in a maximum security facility since the end of September, hasn't been formally charged until today. It's going to actually come down, the indictment. But the Canadian government hasn't done anything to get him moved out of the maximum security facility at all, to regularize his treatment, that he should be being treated the same way that, you know, immigration detainees have. You know, it's by no means wonderful, but it's certainly a step down from shackles and 24-hour lights and interrogations and strip searches and lack of access to legal counsel or his family. And the Foreign Affairs Department has taken, you know, no great role in ensuring that Shakir has access to what he's entitled to.
And Bill Graham, the new head of the department, his position on this?
Well, yeah, it's interesting that the Foreign Affairs Department responded in the sort of frenzy that they did right before John Manley got the sort of star promotion of the cabinet shuffle. And as far as Bill Graham's concerned, we haven't, you know, had any formal statement from him yet.
Well, we did try to get the media representative of the Foreign Affairs Department, who is handling all calls on Shakir's case, on the line today to speak with us. Unfortunately, he was not in the building at the scheduled time of the phone interview, and that would have been an interesting question to ask him, as well as getting any kind of confirmation on exactly how many Canadians are being detained in the United States and that have been disappeared off the streets of the United States since September 11th. Any idea on that number other than Shakir?
Yeah, it's impossible to say. I mean, if you read the mainstream press, they're saying that 5,000 men have been of foreign descent have been questioned in the United States, and we keep hearing the number of about 1,000 detainees. But Shakir is the first and sole confirmed case of a Canadian citizen being detained in this manner in the U.S., and I certainly don't believe that he is alone in that.
Does this kind of lack of concern for Shakir's case coming out of the Foreign Affairs Department, coming from the Canadian consulates, give you any hope for future relations between Canada and the U.S.? I'm thinking specifically of all the flurry in the news right now around Canadian soldiers on the ground in Afghanistan who are arresting Taliban soldiers and possibly handing them over to the U.S. Army for deportation to Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah, well, I certainly think that Shakir's case is being used to set an example. I mean, the United States government is choosing to draw out and, you know, some would say torture people of Arabic descent who have entered the U.S. illegally, and I think that it's very clear that he's being used to set an example. And I haven't seen, and I'm not at all encouraged by the Canadian government's response to this. I mean, it's very blatant, and I think that you know, our relationship with the United States is like the borders are sort of being erased, and it's clear that the United States is, you know, the prime customer of the American the Canadian government and Canadian business, and what the customer wants is always right, and whether that means, you know, increased heavy enforcement on borders, if it means integrating our visa requirements, making our immigration regulations and border policies and practices the same, if that's what the United States is pushing for and that's what has to be done by neighboring nations in order, you know, to remain in their favor, then it looks like that's what's happening.
Yeah, and what are we as Canadians to do to stop it? Go to the borders and sit there until, you know, something's passed to keep that distinction between our two nations?
Well, I think it's a huge question, and I think that initially what's most important, and it sounds really, really frustrating, but is that the Canadian public must keep an eye on the changes to legislation and their effects, the reality of their effects, and they must mount a far greater outcry about how quickly things are being rushed through the House of Commons, through the Senate. I feel that you have to use, you know, sort of all possible means to express concern, dissent, horror at the sort of, you know, speed and voraciousness with which these changes are happening. And in terms of a larger scale resistance, that, you know, that's something that OCAP, in cooperation with groups in Montreal and Vancouver and Ottawa and other cities, is starting to look very hard at, because this is a national and international situation.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.